Join me in a prayer for understanding of God's Word. Almighty God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, open your Word and illumine our darkened. By the light of your truth in Jesus Christ. Amen. The lesson for today is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and I'll be reading from Peterson. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs and polluted with unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it, all of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. It's a wonder that God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up, set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Now God has us where he wants us, with all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus, saving us all, his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we'd done the whole thing ourselves. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he's gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. The Word of God for the people of God.
Thank our brother in Christ for those words of truth that can be trusted. And you know, before I continue, you might have heard that last hymn that we sang, right? Amazing Grace, one of the most familiar hymns in all the world throughout history. But the rest of the verses preach, so I'm going to share them. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. Those words were written by John Newton, who had been a slave ship captain in England. And as he was literally brought to his knees before God and handed his life over to God through Jesus and humbled himself and sought to live a life that was focused on God rather than self, these words came out. And out of a life that had been broken and then renewed by God's grace, we today sing these words, and they speak a word of hope into our lives as the modern day church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you are at work and how you continue to work, to churn, to stretch us, to help us remember that you're never going to turn your back on us. You're never going to take advantage of us. So why should we not simply trust completely? Help us to continue to hand over more and more until our lives are truly, completely, fully in your hands. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. A panicked husband called 911. And the operator answered and said, "What's the emergency?" And the husband said, "My wife is in labor and the contractions are getting closer and closer together." And the 911 operator said, "Is this her first child?" And the husband said, "No, it's her husband." "I'll give you a minute till we're all on the same page." Got it? Grace in those moments of panic, right? When we want to call 911 and maybe it's not a call that 911 needs to be made. And let's face it, how often in our lives have we dialed the heavenly 911? "Lord, I'm in a heap of trouble. Where are you? Help. Lord, I need you now. I'm afraid." Those are all honest, powerful, sacred prayers. I want you to hear that, okay? Being a Christian doesn't mean we have all the answers. Sorry to let you know that right now. Being a Christian means that our prayers are not always going to be eloquent, brilliant, filled with thanksgiving to God. One of the things that I've shared with people again and again and again is that whenever I share with people, they ask me, "How am I?" And I say, "I'm blessed." That doesn't mean everything's going smashingly. In fact, actually, maybe everything is going smashingly. Things might be really hectic. I might be stressed to the nth degree, but you know, I know who is still in charge. And it's not me. It's God. And that's why I say, I'm blessed. For us, in our life of faith, in our journey of faith, in this journey that we're on that God has called us into, what a wonderful, poignant, surprising, beautiful truth grace is for us. Grace is so difficult to define. Grace is not something that we latch onto and hold for ourselves, because grace comes only from God. Certainly, if we offer other people an instance of grace, if we offer them a word of grace, if we offer them hope, that is something that we give God the glory for, because it comes from God. What a wonderful and beautiful thing it is to be offered and to be used as a channel of God's grace nonetheless. For us, this scripture passage reminds us in very real, clear terms that grace is a defining thing in our lives. Last week, we were talking about practicing God through the Ten Commandments. Did anybody read those again this past week? I'm not taking names, so that's okay. You can just kind of nod if you want to. As you look through those Ten Commandments, as you look through those teachings, and as we seek to do those things, we're really practicing God. And that's the question that we can have for ourselves. How is my practice of God going today? It's not something that we beat ourselves up with. It's not something that we fret over, but rather something that we just kind of keep at the front of ourselves. How am I living as a child of God? Grace is something that helps us in seeking to live as children of God. And again, grace can be very, very confusing. In Chevy Chase's movie, A Christmas Vacation, anybody seen it? The pastor has seen it, so you can raise your hand also. If you don't think it's Christian or holy, that's okay. There's theological themes in pretty much any movie. At one point, they're gathered around the table, okay? And the elderly aunt is asked to offer grace. And her response is, "Well, Grace died in 1954. She wasn't really sure. And then finally, once everybody was bowed in prayer, you remember that scene, and they're all holy, and I think it's going to be a beautiful, wonderful setting, she offers the Pledge of Allegiance for her grace and prayer. So grace is kind of confusing, isn't it?
We're not really sure what to do with it. We're not sure really how to handle it when we receive it. And oftentimes we don't even know how to share it. And yet God's grace still defines us. So what do we do with this reality? What do we do with this truth? Well, the author of Ephesians has some thoughts on this. First of all, this whole idea of the passions of the flesh, okay, whenever in different translations, that's what the author speaks about in that first section of this section of Scripture. Talks about the passions of our flesh. What this means is that we are living a life of rebellion against God for whatever reason. Maybe we've been hurt. Maybe we've been burned out of our lives. Maybe we're just mad at God and we're living a life of rebellion against God. We're placing our trust in something else altogether. And sometimes we're placing our trust in something that we think we can control and manipulate. Okay? The passions of the flesh also can be demonstrated in our being greedy. Not only with our finances, but with sharing of our time and also in our abilities. Passions of the flesh point to things like gossip, hatred, and an obsession with things other than God. I just want to share those things because the following obituary is not the one I want to see for each and every one of you, okay? And this obituary actually appeared in the Los Angeles Times. Hear this. Dolores, it said, Dolores, I'll give you a heads up right now, followed the passions of the flesh, okay? Dolores had no hobbies, made no contribution to society, and rarely shared a kind word or deed in her life. Her presence will not be missed by many. Very few tears will be shed, and there will be no lamenting over her passing. There's more. There will be no service, no prayers, and no closure for the family she spent a lifetime tearing apart. What a sad witness to the passions of the flesh. What a sad statement of a life lived in bitterness, anger, hatred. The powerful news about grace is that we can offer the greatest hatred, the greatest bitterness, the greatest anger, lay it on God. God can take it. And you know what God responds with? Grace. I love you. Absolutely. And what's amazing is that God loves each and every one of us equally. I got to break this to you as well. What you said to each other at the very beginning of worship, you remember that still? Jesus loves you. But I'm his favorite. Some of you who weren't here yet. Yeah? Okay? I'm sorry. It's not true. We're all God's favorites. We're all God's children. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we were all loved more abundantly and intimately than we can ever imagine. So, no matter what the grief, no matter how deep, no matter what the hurt, no matter what the frustration, no matter what the bitterness, we lay it before God. We offer it to God. God already knows it. Let's go ahead and let go of it and let God bring healing into our lives. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sounds holy. Sounds sacred. And it definitely sounds like grace. So, if God continues to love us and God continues to speak into our lives and God loves us all equally, why do good? Why be his people? And why gather like this for worship? Well, it's because it's in the doing of grace, even when we don't understand it or comprehend it, that we grow deeper, more powerfully into the likeness of Christ. Okay? We start looking like him more and more and more. We start bearing his resemblance to the world. And indeed, what we share with the world, our words and our lives, truly then are a witness of God's grace and less about us. And there's some freedom in that, isn't there? Not just for those people who don't want to try to, who don't want to be in front of other people, okay? Don't ask me to be liturgist pastor. I don't want to do that. It becomes less and less about us and only about God. We're going to hear about how a life of grace sounds. We're going to actually hear it versus a life that is self-centered in just a few moments. Okay? But let me also speak to you about what it is to be transformed by practicing grace. Some people say doing good works. Some people say doing acts, performing acts of charity. I say by practicing grace. Walking the walk, talking the talk. You got it? Got it? Yeah, absolutely. Instead of being frantic, this means, and trying to save ourselves by doing good works, okay, by practicing grace. Practicing grace or doing good works are the blessed opportunity for us to live out the lives we were destined to live. Do you understand that God has great things in mind for you? Truly. No question about it. Has even more planned for you to be able to participate in building his kingdom. Good works or practicing grace are the expressions of Christ alive in us ministering to the world. Good works are also demonstrations of our present reality and future. And there's something that refers to the scripture as well, in it being seated at a heavenly place with Christ, okay? Being seated in that place of honor. We are God's royal children exercising God's dominion of love in the world. Now, I mentioned this to the first service, and only one person came up and greeted me in this way. But since we are God's royal children, and since we are seated with Christ as we continue to practice grace, okay, to work at that, to be together as the body of Christ, we can now call one another Your Highness. Only one person came up after first service and said, Your Highness. Now, if you greet one another like that in the restaurant that you're going to or in Fry's, people might just get out of the way, and that's fine. It's fine. Give you a wide berth to be able to do whatever you need. But there is this lifting up that happens to us no matter what the circumstances around us look like, okay? Understand, because that's not what defines us. Your circumstances around you do not define you. God and God alone, and therefore God's grace and love, are the only things that define you in your life. I was mentioning about hearing, being able to hear what it is to be self-centered versus what it is to offer grace. Let me read something to you first. Hildegard of Bingen, this is a great writer in the early church, and she wrote this: the marvels of God are not brought forth from oneself. Rather, it is more like a chord, a sound that is played. The tone does not come out of the chord itself, but rather through the touch of the great musician. I am, of course, the harp of God's kindness. this is what a chord, or this is how we sound being used by God whenever we're sharing grace. This is what we sound like whenever we're self-centered. Is that okay? Need to get that tuned or something. That's why they don't let me play the piano. I can't even come in here when nobody else is here. They lock it up, they secure it, they put police tape around it so I can't even get to it. What kind of tone is God sharing through you? Now let me share this with you. Even if the tone sounds like the second one, okay? And you just can't get out of yourself, wallowing, focusing on whatever it is. Or maybe you're grieving. I understand that. Believe me. Or maybe you're just feeling broken, or you're feeling challenged mentally, physically, or emotionally. Know that in that place, that's where God works most powerfully. You know, that's where grace resides. Okay, that's where grace lives. And so God is already there. We only recognize it after the fact, right? We say, oh, that's who was bringing me through it. Oh, that's who was helping me. Whenever I was depressed, whenever I was down, whenever I was grieving, whenever I was broken, that's who was residing with me always and already. God. So know that God, slowly and surely, but in the most intimate, powerful, and holy ways, is going to bring you from that discord into making beautiful music, allowing Him to use you as an instrument of His wonderful, amazing grace. God is at work in each and every person here, equally, powerfully, lovingly, surprisingly. How are we open to and living that truth in our lives? Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for grace. In the midst of the darkest places, and also something that we recognize later on, sometimes much later. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the truth that you are that unending source of grace. Thank you for all that it brings into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this day, which is another day and another opportunity where we can turn our lives over to you through Jesus. When we can simply say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, here is my life. I claim that relationship with you. I claim that saving relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful opportunity every day that you give us. Thank you for loving us as your people, as your children. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.